Today's reading is from the book of Isaiah. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return to you, for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who was called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Holy wisdom, holy word.
There, how's that? Okay, I am having some mic issues today, but I'll start again. Dear friends, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to remember that your word is not for the tickling of ears, but for the transformation of lives. So be present. Be present in your word for us today and be with us always. Amen. Okay, a little true story. I am from a family of four kids, and I'm the youngest. So when I was born in 1972, anybody remember 1972? It's a great year I was born. But my siblings are a lot older than me. So my brother was 14, my sister was 11, my other sister was 5, and then here I was. And my parents were like 34, 35. I think I was unexpected, but that's okay. Best, the last is always best. It's a great place to be in the line of family. Anybody else, the baby? Woo, go babies. Yep. Anyway, my mom told me a story about when I was 5 years old where I bursted into tears. Now, we were a church-going family. We went every Sunday. We never missed. Even when we were on vacation, my mom would find a Lutheran church, and we would go to church. So we never missed church. And my parents were deeply involved in the church. My mom taught Sunday school. My dad taught the adult Sunday school, everything. And so she took me down to the nursery, which I spent most of the morning. I was maybe 5 or 6 months old, and I just stayed in the nursery. Well, they went home, right? Everybody packed into the car. My brother, my sister, my parents. They drove home 20 minutes. And as soon as my mom stepped out of the car, she goes, "Oh my goodness, Heather." They left me at church. In the church nursery, there I was, didn't know a different. So they all jumped back in the car, ran to the church building, and of course found me in the nursery, and the nursery attendant my mom said goes, I was beginning to worry. You know, this is when church was like at 11 o'clock, so you're talking like 12:30, and my parents still hadn't picked up the baby. Well, when I was 5, she told me this story. She thought it was funny by that point. Everybody's like, remember when we left Heather in the nursery? I bursted into tears and said, "You forgot me?" And that's what we're talking about. Are we forgotten people? Does God forget us? How does God speak to us? How do we know God is near us? I mean, these people, the exiles, whom God says in this reading, I love you, are completely dispersed. This is like 50 years after Jeremiah. We spent some time in Jeremiah, if you remember, at the beginning of the summer. They felt that way. They maybe cried in a longing to go home. I just spent 2 weeks in my home state where I grew up all my life, where I went to college, and I love it. You forget what home feels like sometimes until you go back and you're with your family and all these familiar things and the stories that trickle in. Where was God? They wondered. Does he care? I sometimes wish that we would get these beautiful readings out of the prophets today. That God would just show up in our church and say, you are precious people. You are honored, and I love you. Do you long for that? To hear those words? If you look in the reading in your bulletin, if you take it out, I'm sorry it's on 2 pages, but that's how it works. This isn't just God speaking. This is poetry. It's put together with you in mind. If you look at the beginning and the ending of it, it says, God, who created you? Who formed you? It begins with that, and it ends with that. Followed by this name exchanged. I have called you by name, says God, and you are mine. And at the end it says, not your name will be called upon, but God's name. See, this is what the Bible is about. This is who God is in this world. It's all about God's relationship with you. I have formed you. I created you. I call you by name. You are mine. And then on the flip side, as it ends, it is about your relationship with God. This is what God desires from you, to know that you are formed and created by God, not for your glory, but for God's glory. That in all you do, in all you say, and in all who you are, to the very core of your being, is not about you, but it's for the glory of God. And we do that when we honor and love each other, when we turn to each other and say, you are precious. Whether you agree with that person or not, whether it's someone you have forgotten on your piece of paper, or somebody who always remembers you or you remember, they are precious and not forgotten people, and neither are you. Now here's the lovely part of this poetry. These words are followed by a command with a promise. It says at the beginning, right after those words I just told you, and at the end, before those words, it says, do not fear. That's a command from God, which maybe a better translation would be, have no fear. The command, the first one, says, I have redeemed you. Redeem is a super churchy word. A better translation, I think, is I have saved you. I have rescued you from yourself. If you go on to read it, it talks about Egypt. That is the salvation story for the Israelites, for Jewish people. That's why God is reminding them, look what I have already done for you. For us, we would say, it's in Jesus Christ. And again, we can say from God, look what I've already done for you. You are saved. Christ has rescued you. The next promise is what I want to close with. Again, it says, have no fear, do not fear, for I am with you. I am with you is what I want you to remember. You are mine, says God, and I am with you. I am with you is the tagline of the Bible. So check this out. Ready? We're going to do a super arc of I am with you throughout the Bible. It starts with Abraham. The story of Abraham in Genesis. His uncle Abimelech comes up to him and says, ha, I can tell I am with you. God is with you. As we know, God's name is I am, right? We get that in Moses' story. You see, I am with you from Moses. It's passed on to Isaac. If you remember the story in Jacob's ladder, where God comes down and literally says, Jacob, I'm right here. I am with you. It's passed on to Moses when Moses is at the burning bush. And he says, who should I tell Pharaoh who sent me? And he says, you tell him I am who I am, God's name. I am with you, Moses. I will save the people from Egypt. Isaiah captures, I am with you. It's here. You can see it in Isaiah 7 or 9, I forget, when he shares the prediction of a young woman will have a baby and his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. And sure enough, in Matthew, Mary has a baby. His name is Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. And the very last words that Jesus says in Matthew is, I am with you to the end of the age. God with us is the tagline of the Bible. But what makes it so special is the word with. It's him in Hebrew. It literally means God with us, like coming down the ladder with Jacob and sitting beside you. But it also means between. God with us is here sitting with you, and it's what goes with you when you leave these doors. That those people you forgot for whatever reason, because you stole their sticker book, because you can't forgive them, because of human nature, it's God who tethers you together. When your family is apart, you're never alone. Because God with us is what holds you together. So, beloved, God says in this story that there will be troubled waters, that there isn't this perfect life just because you believe. That's not the promise. The promise is this. God says, you are mine. I will never forget you, and I will be with you always. Amen.